Heavenly Father, thank you again for being our dad, being our father, giving us light, letting us see Jesus. And my prayer this morning is that we would all see you, my God, my Jesus, in a clearer way and receive from you all that you want to give to us. And we ask this, Father, in your Son's name, Jesus. Amen and amen. The title is called Our Spiritual Journey. Our Spiritual Journey. So I want to focus on Jacob's spiritual journey and tie that into our spiritual journey. Jacob's name meant a supplanter, a cheat, a deceiver. That's what his name meant. And we will see that in Genesis 25. And then some 20 years later or so, God worked in his life. And we will see in chapter 32 and 33. And that God gave him a new name to represent his character. And his new name is called Israel, which means one that strives with God and man for the blessing through faith, perseverance, and prayer. So we're going to go through chapters 25 through 33. We're going to skip some areas and some points because the theme is just about how God called Jacob and how he calls you. And some of the testings and trials that we go through, we're going to see what Jacob went through. The principles are almost the same. Hebrews 11:9 says, by faith, that is Jacob, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promises. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. So we too are walking this faith journey. We too are looking towards Jesus, towards heaven. This is not our home. We're foreigners here, aliens, if you will. We don't have our citizenship here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Can I get an amen? Amen. Scripture tells us in Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So like Jacob and like Abraham and like Isaac and like all the people of faith in the book of Hebrews, they were not living for this world. They had their eyes on heaven. We have a bigger understanding now. They only had a fraction of a picture of this atoning death of Christ. We see it in fullness, that it's Jesus Christ, and we have the Holy Spirit where they didn't. In fact, the Holy Spirit came upon certain people at certain times, but we have the Holy Spirit in us always. So we're in a better covenant, the new covenant. We have bigger privileges, better privileges, but we still all got to live by faith on this journey towards heaven. One day we'll meet the Lord. So I'm going to read Genesis 32. Turn with me from verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to go backtrack it to chapter 25. And the reason why I'm going to go back to chapter 25 is it ends this verse of Genesis 32 that Jacob was fearful of Esau. And I want to bring you back to why was he fearful and how did that all come about? So in Genesis 32:1, it says, now as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him. And Jacob said when he saw them, this is God's camp. So he named the place Mahanaim. And then Jacob sent messengers before him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he also commanded them, saying, thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. And I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and males and female servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight. So the messengers returned to Jacob saying, well, we came to your brother Esau. And furthermore, he is coming to meet you and 400 men are with him. So Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people who were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. So we'll get more into chapter 32 more than likely next week. But why was he greatly afraid? Because 20 years earlier, we see how he deceived his brother Esau. He stole the birthright with deception. And he also stole the blessing from him when he went into his father Isaac and deceived his father, pretending that he was Esau. So we begin with this person Esau, and also with Jacob in chapter 25, in verses 21 through 23. Isaac was praying for his wife Rebekah because she was not having a baby. So it reads this way. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren, and the Lord answered him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within them, and she said, "If it is so, why am I this way?" So she went to inquire to the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two people will be separated from your body, and one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So here we see that God had a plan. But why would he have a plan? Why was it that he was making two nations? Now, we have to understand that he's not just making a nation for the sake of a nation. Here is the backdrop a little bit. Jacob, who comes out of Isaac, as we see, there's two nations. One was born as Jacob, the other one was born as Esau. God's plan was for Jacob to get married, and he does, and he has 12 children. And out of those 12 children, one was called Judah. And out of Judah would come the lineage of Jesus Christ. Out of Judah would come King David, and out of King David, as you read it, and you go to Luke chapter 20, Luke 3, you'll see that genealogy of pointing all the ways up to Seth, who was the son of Adam, who Adam was the son of God. So God had a plan from Seth all the ways down through Judah until Jesus Christ came. What was the big plan? The big plan is redemption. It's salvation. We read in Genesis 3:15, after Adam and Eve sinned, they were now dislocated from God. They didn't have God's presence. They didn't have God's spirit. They were fallen. And so the Lord said in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity," he's speaking to Satan now, who deceived, "I will put war between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." Now, that is an encrypted prophecy about Jesus Christ, that he will crush your head, Satan, but you will bruise his heel, the crucifixion. So God immediately sent a message that he was going to redeem us, his people, the fallen race, back into his presence, buy us back. And the payment was his blood, his death and resurrection, sinless. Now keep in mind these two nations that were struggling within them. And I want to ask you a question as I also experience this. There's always going to be two nations inside of us, or if you will, two natures. We have the Adamic nature that struggles against your new nature. They're at war with each other just as much as these two nations were at war in the womb of this woman. It tells me in Galatians 5:16, "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh wars or sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please." You want to do right, he's saying here. The things that please God, you want to do it, but there's a war going on inside of you. So here's the answer, he says in verse 18. "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So what does that mean? The law is when you're trying to serve God without the Holy Spirit. The law is brings condemnation. The Bible tells us, therefore, there's now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has set you free from the law of sin and death. Say hallelujah. Because I don't follow God by do's and don'ts. I follow the Lord with that relationship by His Holy Spirit. That's the new covenant. So there's always going to be opposition until we get to heaven. You're going to have that in your body, in your mind. Your flesh is going to say, no. You don't need to do that. And the Spirit's going to say, no, this is the right thing. This is the right thing. But it's up to you to either yield to the flesh or yield to the Spirit. You have the power of God in you so that you don't have to yield to the flesh. You don't. Well, why do I sin? Well, we choose to sin. But yet the Word of God says we do no longer have to be under the power of sin because He broke the power of sin in Romans 6. So back to the story of Genesis chapter 25. And then in verse 24, we left off at 23. He says, but when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Now the first came forth red, all over like the hairy garment, and the name was Esau. Can I just say one more thing? Can I? Okay, thank you. He said back there that the older will serve the younger. Check this out spiritually. Jesus said, unless you were born of the water, the flesh, the body, and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The older is your flesh. The older is when you were born in the body with sin. The older is going to serve the younger. What is the younger? The younger is your new birth. It's your spirit in you. So I always keep that in mind, that my old nature is going to serve my new nature, which is the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? So back to the Esau. So now the first came forth red, all over like a hairy garment. And the name of him was Esau. So there seems to be a connection with the name. Esau is red and hairy. Not Harry, but hairy. Now, afterward, his brother came forth with his hand holding onto Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them. Now, when the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field. But Jacob was a peaceful man living in tents. Now, Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, here you get Jacob's name. It means heel. Snatcher, supplanter, deceiver. And Esau, whose name is Red, we're going to see something kind of ironic here, that he sold his birthright for a bowl of red lentils. You know, sometimes names connect to the person's character, to the propensity of that person. You know, you're born sometimes with a propensity to maybe run. So you get two children. One likes to sit down and do puzzles. The other one's running. Oh, they have different propensities, different character traits from the DNA. So it seems that Esau's propensity was to go out and hunt, whereas Jacob's was to sit down. He was more of a peaceful man. However, Jacob's name was a deceiver. And I like to kind of tie that into our lives as we are coming to Christ and how Jacob changed over a period of time and how we too change over a period of time. So it tells us here that Esau was loved by his father because his father loved game. He loved deer, he loved ducks, squirrels, whatever they ate back then. But Rebekah, the mother, loved Jacob. Consider this. We all have a propensity when we're born. But that's never an excuse to follow after God. Some people have a propensity because they're born in an alcoholic family to be alcoholics because they've seen it, they learned the behavior, or maybe even wife abusive. So they grow up being abusive to their wives because that's how they were brought up. They see it. And so their propensity many times may be to follow after what they were taught. But that's never a reason to not accept Jesus Christ. We could always make excuses, but an excuse is just a lie that the devil wants to cripple you with. I take responsibility. We should all take responsibility for our sins. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because if you don't take responsibility to get healed, to be forgiven, you'll stay in that victimization mentality, and you'll never get healed. But when you come to Christ, no matter what your character trait is, don't use it as an excuse, but rather come to Christ and get healed of it. So Esau was a man of the woods, and Jacob was a peaceful man, but he was still a deceiver. So now we see in verses 29 through 34 the story. So when Jacob, they're older now, it says the boys grew up and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a peaceful man, okay, living in tents. Now Isaac loved Esau more than he, because he had a taste for game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So when Jacob cooked, so the boys are grew up now, they're no longer babies. We don't know how old they were. It could be they're 15. We don't have an idea because when you do the chronological math, it seems like when Esau was 40 years old, that's when he lost his birthright and what have you. So here it says that when Jacob had cooked stew, Esau came in from the field and was famished. And Esau said to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff, for I'm famished. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, first sell me your birthright. Now a birthright meant this. The birthright would always go to the firstborn, who would get a double portion. The firstborn would get the land. He would be the patriarch when the father died. He would be the leader. So a birthright was just not a piece of paper, but back then it was God's blessing. It was something that was to be desired. But we'll see here how Esau despised that. So it goes on to say, please let me have a swallow. I'm famished. Therefore, his name was Edom. And Jacob said, first sell me your birthright. Remember, he's a supplanter. He's a trickster. He's a deceiver. And Esau said, behold, I'm about to die. So of what use then is this birthright to me? See, he wanted immediate gratification. And Jacob said, well, first swear to me. Let's put it in stone. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. And he ate and drank and rose and went on his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. See, it was a spiritual despising more than it was just a physical. Because God had planned it and ordained this way for the firstborn to get the blessing. You see, when the Bible talks about Jesus, it says Jesus was the firstborn. It's the firstborn in position. Jesus was the firstborn of the new creation of us. Remember, he was the God-man and everything. So he was the blessing. So he sold his birthright for a swallow of this red stuff because he was so famished. Hebrews picks up on that in chapter 12, verse 16. It says, let there not be any immoral or godless person like Esau who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though we sought it with tears. You see, there's two kinds of repentance. There's the repentance that leads to salvation. And then there's the sorrow of the world that leads to death. A person could be in jail and say, oh man, I am so sorrowful that I did that. But there's no repentance. He goes out and he does it again. But you see, the repentance from God leads to change, whereas the sorrow of the world just leads to doing it again and death. So here, Esau had no real repentance. He had sorrow that he lost the blessing, as we'll see later, but he really was not changing the way he saw God. In our lives, in our journey, listen, there are times where we're like Esau. Yeah, I get that. We deceive. We don't always tell the truth on our taxes. Say amen if you're with me. Come on. You know, we stretch it a little bit, or we may stretch something at another time at different places. And we have that Jacob in us. Yeah, yeah. But we have God. We have the Holy Spirit. He's working on us. I believe that. But I don't want to ever be an Esau who hears but never changes, who is a hearer of the word but not a doer of the word, and come to that place where you sell out your inheritance. Your inheritance is heaven. Your inheritance is Jesus Christ. Your inheritance is his peace, his joy, all of his riches. That's your birthright. But we all come to different places in our life where we might say, my body appetite wants this. And for a moment of pleasure, we put God behind us and we say, I want to be filled with this pleasure. For a moment, he was famished. Was he going to die? No, he wasn't going to die. So for him, God, the birthright, meant little. I want to tell you that the devil wants to get you to give up. He wants to get you to say, I'm tired. I need to fulfill my desires. I need to get some of this here red stuff, whatever it may be, whatever it is your appetite, your fleshly appetite may be. Be careful. Don't sell out what God has blessed you with and will continue to bless you with all the ways to heaven for a measly bowl of beans. Can I get an amen? Because that's all it is. And finally, after it, you say, oh, it's gone. My blessing is gone. Oh, it's the devil, I'll tell you what. You got to say no to him. Here's what Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 says. Paul was saying this. He said, many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you, even weeping, they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame. They set their minds on earthly things. So he's weeping. He's saying, there are people who are walking. Maybe they once walked with us. Many walk, of whom I often told you, now tell you, even weeping. So maybe they once walked at the beginning. So he says here, their God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame. Why? Because they set their minds on earthly things. And then he gives the good news about those who are holding on. For our citizenship is heaven, for which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will transform this body of our humble state into the conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. Hold on. Don't sell out, man. Yeah, we go through hard times. Yeah, we go through the fire. Yeah, we go through the water. Yeah, you may be hungry for certain things of this world that seems to be knocking at your door. But the Lord said to Cain, you must overcome it. Sin is at the door, but you must overcome it. And he never did. And he sinned, as you know, and he killed his brother Abel, and the beat goes on. We all come to these places in our lives where we accept Christ, and then we start getting tempted, and the world starts knocking. Be careful. Yeah, you go through it, though. You'll go through the suffering, but you're not going to die. Just be patient with the Lord and let Him raise you up. Let Him bring it to pass, because the devil wants to give you something that's going to last for a moment, and then you'll so regret it. I love what Romans says. The Spirit Himself, Romans 8, testifies with your spirit, our spirit, that you're children of God. And if you're children, you're heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Look at that value. If indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him, I consider the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Yeah, we'll suffer. But hallelujah, compare that to the glory that awaits us. It's nothing. Say with me, nothing. It really is. Does that mean that you don't feel the pain? No, I'm not here belittling the pain. I get it. I know you. Some are single, and you know, well, Lord, when, you know, and I get it. I was single once. During the Civil War, I was a little younger then. It was a long time ago. I agree. It was a long time ago. But, and I know, glory to me. I waited, Lord, I'm not going to sell out. I've been there, done that, tasted that. I'm not going to get tricked into going back to that because I'm lonely. Because, you know, my hormones are on high alert. The temptation comes. It comes knocking. But what are you going to do? No, Lord, can you see? You got to look at the horns behind it. He wants to bring you in, destroy you. Or if you're married, it's the same thing. He wants, you know, well, just because you think you're married that you're never going to be tempted? No way, Jose. You'll be tempted just as much. It's a choice that you make to follow Jesus Christ. You say, no, Jesus, I'm not selling out. Give me the grace that I need. And He'll give you grace. How it comes, it comes. But He tests us, and He allows us to get closer to Him in our commitment to Him. Especially when you're a new believer. That's when you're most vulnerable. Because He figures if He can get you before you get your legs, and that's when He attacks. And then on the other extreme, He comes after the old people like me. You know, you've been around a long time serving the Lord. You might put down your guard. And I could tell you who that happened to. King David. While they were supposed to go out to battle, King David stayed behind. And it says he went up on his porch and he saw Miss Bathsheba bathing naked. And that was it. God can put together Humpty Dumpty, I know that. But the pain that he caused for himself and against his Lord, he cried out, oh God, he said, forgive me when you read the psalm. Psalm 51. He had repentance, but he suffered for a year, holding it in until the prophet came and said, you're the man. And he was blessed to be able to confess his sin. So why am I saying all of that? I'm saying that because if I'm going to be a Jacob, let me stay a Jacob and be changed. But I surely don't want to be an Esau and sell my birthright. Now, chapter 26 is the story of Isaac. So we're not going to go to chapter 26. Isaac prospering in the land of Gerar. And then in chapter 27, many years have passed, and Isaac, the father of Jacob and Esau, they're old. He's an old person now. He's blind, and he thinks he's going to meet the Lord soon. Keep in mind that Isaac favored Esau, and the mother favored Jacob. But what did the Lord say when those two people were inside her bosom? He said, the older is going to serve the younger. So the blessing was coming, according to God, through the younger, which would be Jacob. But here we see now Isaac not paying attention to that. In verse 1 through 3, it says, "Now it came about when Isaac was old and his eyes were too dim to see," he was blind, "that he called his oldest son Esau, and he said to him, 'My son,' and he said, 'Here I am.' And Isaac said, 'Behold, now I'm old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear and your quiver and your bow and go out to the field and hunt for me some game. And prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love. And bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die.'" It seems to be a little parallel there. Esau said, "I'm going to die unless I eat." Dad is saying, "Come on, give me something of that food before I die." Like father, like son sometimes. Now, Rebecca is listening. And remember, she loves Jacob. So here you're going to see a triple decker of people in the flesh. You're going to see Isaac acting in the flesh. You're going to see Rebecca acting in the flesh. And you're going to see Jacob acting in his flesh too. Remember, there's the war against the spirit and the flesh. And the Lord said specifically that the younger was going to serve the older. Now, how God would arrange that, I don't know. Maybe he would have gave Isaac a dream before he did this to his firstborn and said, "No, the blessing is going to the secondborn." We don't know, but they got ahead of God. She got ahead of God. You remember the story of Abraham? Abraham, they didn't have a child. God promised that through Abraham and through Sarah, there would be the promised child. But, you know, Sarah got a little impatient. And she said, "No, no, here, take my handmaiden, Hagar. So she took things into her own hands instead of waiting. And what happened? Ishmael was born. And that was a problem for all of history. And then eventually, 25 years later, I think Hagar, it might have been 10 years, I'm not too sure of the chronological order. But they waited then. They had to cast out Ishmael. And God came through on his promise when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah, who was no longer able to have a baby, had a baby. That was God's plan. But she got ahead of God. And so here we see God's plan was for Jacob to get the blessing. But Rebecca got ahead of God. And Isaac, who was favoring his son, was clouded. The spiritual discernment was clouded because of his favoritism towards this person, his son, and towards his appetite. And I want to say for you and me too, your spiritual discernment can be clouded because of what you want. And you could go ahead because this is your appetite. This is what you want. This is your desire. And you're going to go forward with it. And so we see Rebecca was listening, verse 5. "And while Isaac spoke to his son Esau, so when Esau went to the field to hunt for some game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, 'Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother, saying, Esau, bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, this is what you do. Listen to me and as I command you. Go to the flock, bring me two choice young goats from there that I may prepare them a savory dish for your father, just as he loves. Then you shall bring to your father that he may eat of it so that he may bless you before his death.' And Jacob answered his mother Rebekah and said this, 'Behold, Esau, my brother, he's a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me. Then I will be a deceiver in his sight and I will bring upon me a curse and not a blessing.' But his mother said, 'Your curse be on me, my son. Obey my voice and go and get for me.' So he went and he got them, brought him to his mother, and his mother made a savory food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah, listen to this, took the best garments of Esau, her son, her eldest son, which were in her house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of a young goat on his hands and on the smooth part of his back or his neck. She also gave savory food and bread, which she had made to her son Jacob. So she's saying, okay, Esau's a hairy dude. I'm going to put some goat hair on your hands. Your father's blind. He's not going to know the difference. And I'm going to put some hair on your neck. And I'm going to put Esau's clothes on. And you're going to go in there as Esau. And you're going to get the blessing. So that was the conniving plan. That was the plans of the flesh. You know, I can recall a story. When David went to fight Goliath, and Saul gave him his outer garments of armor, and he tried to walk in, and he said, I can't do this. This ain't me, you know. And he took it off. And he realized that it wasn't man's armor that was going to get God's will done, but it was the Spirit of God. And he said to Goliath, you come in the name of your Philistine. I come in the name of the Lord, and I'm going to take your head off. And we know he did that with one stone. But I see here a parallel. You know, in our flesh, we want to work out the things of the armor of the world. Well, I'll make it happen. I'll do it this way. I'll do it that way. And I'll, you know, and I'll get it done. And you know, hey, God helps those who help themselves, right? No. We need to suffer with the Lord and say, Lord, you'll get this done. Now, I'm not going to the extreme saying, well, I can't tie my shoelaces, Lord, because I want you to do it. You know, no, you be responsible for what you have. But here, she puts all of this stuff together in order to get the blessing. Doesn't work. So now we go to the story in verses 18 through 23. Then he came to his father and he said, my father? He said, here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I'm Esau, your firstborn. He's, you know, trying to be an imitator. Maybe he said a few words like Esau, I don't know. But he said, I'm Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Get up, please sit and eat my game that you may bless me. And Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have so quickly come, my son? I just sent you out not too long ago. He said, well, the Lord, your God, caused it to happen to me. You see how you start growing in your deception? One thing leads into another. Then Isaac said to Jacob, well, please come close that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him. He didn't recognize that it was Jacob because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. You see, his spiritual discernment was clouded because he was so fixed on his appetite, his desire to make it happen for his son Esau, and he just loved how he made that food. You know, when we have those desires mixed in to serve God, your spiritual discernment can be clouded. You know, something's not right here. It just doesn't sound right, but hey, I feel it. This hair is, it must be God's will. I always say, when in doubt, hold out. You see, he didn't hold out. He knew something was fishy, but he was so determined to get that dish of savory food and to bless his son, Esau, even though it wasn't God's will, but he didn't see that. Now, Isaac was a godly man. But I could say that as a warning for all of us. You could be a godly person, but you could be so sure about wanting something that you cloud up the real voice of God, the real discerning voice of God. So verses 24 through 27, it says, so he said, are you really my son Esau? And he said, I am. So he said, well, bring it to me, and I'll eat of my son's game, that I may bless you. And he brought to him, and he ate, and he also brought wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, please come close that I may kiss you, my son. So he came close and he kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed them and he said, see, the smell of my son is like the smell of the field which the Lord has blessed. See, Isaac had one more trick up his sleeve. He said, well, let me get him over for a kiss. This way I could smell his garments. Now, he didn't tell Jacob this, but he said, come here, son, I want to give you a kiss. Oh, yeah, this is him. You see how fleshy the flesh could be? Be wise as a serpent, but as innocent a dove. The flesh is wise in that sense. Cunning, sneaky, deceptive. And Isaac was just as blind because he was being driven by what he wanted to have done. His appetite, both to bless his Esau and to eat of his food. And his discernment was clouded. I want to close with that because there's so much more I have to say in these next chapters that I know has blessed me, it'll bless you, but I don't want to put too much on your plate. So we end with these scripture verses. In 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 1 through 2, and in verse 5, in verse 11, and therefore, since you have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we don't lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, and not walking in the craftiness of adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We're not walking in our flesh. We're walking according to truth. We are renouncing those things that are hidden because of shame. And in verse 5, he says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for Jesus' sake. That's who we are. We don't preach ourselves. We don't preach Horizon. You don't preach. We preach Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. He's worthy. He is the only one that is so worthy that we can bow our knee to, not to man, but to God. Lord, we do this for you. Not because I want to do it, not because I feel like doing it, but because of you as the Lord and because you say it. Continuing in that thought, he says this in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. When you're going through the fire, your inner man, the spirit man, the man that knows that he knows that he knows that he knows. The inner man that has the Spirit of God fighting in his heart, not to overcome, but the power of God. That's the inner man. And sometimes it seems that the outer man of my will, my self-will, is so much strong. I got a little pygmy of the inner man. Beep, 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 beep. But he wants to build that inner man up. That spirit man that doesn't walk by sight, but he walks by faith. Isaac, he walked by sight. Not his eyes, but by his smell, his feelings, by his touch, even by his ears. But that's not us. The Bible tells me in verse 17, for momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory. It's far beyond comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Last scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Friends, brothers, we're close. The finish line is close. You don't want to throw in the towel now. You don't want to sell out for a bowl of beans now, brothers and sisters. You want to say, no, Lord, give me the grace not just to follow my appetite or what I hear or what I smell or what I touch. I need your discernment, Lord, for your will. I want to follow hard after you. Your promises is what we live by. The promise was that the older was going to serve the younger. God's promise is that your flesh will not rule over you no more, but it will follow what your spirit dictates. If your hormones are burning, then let the spirit say, I'll bring you a woman. Or if your mental capacity and your emotions are getting out of whack and you're feeling, I don't know, yes or no, get on board with what the Word of God says. And that is God's promise. It may take time. It does most of it. Too long for me most of the time. But that's God's way. And I want to go His way. Can I get an amen? Amen. So as the worship team comes up here today, read ahead to the next couple of chapters of Genesis up to chapter 33 if you want, because that's where we'll end. But I want to give just an invite to everyone here, just an invite. With every head bowed, just for the moment. There are different types of people in every place, in every congregation. Even in Jesus' day, Jesus is preaching in the temple, and it was a demon-possessed man in church. So just because everyone is in church, that doesn't mean everyone is walking with God. Maybe you don't know God, or maybe you're just struggling, and you come here because you need grace.